the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Mumuzi. Alongside me is always the legendary Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how you doing?
Doing good. I'm excited about tonight, Mo. We got something real special going on for our listeners.
Oh, we do. We do indeed. And I'd like to apologize, first of all, for the interruption to our regularly scheduled programming. Missed out an episode on Monday, but we will make it up to you. I was over in Milan doing the show I do with Amazon Prime. It's called Starring Prime, if you guys want to check that out.
I thought you told me you were going to go in the bobsled. You were there for the Winter Olympics, no?
They rejected my application this year. They rejected my application this year, unfortunately. We'll try again in 4 years.
PEDs? Only kidding, folks. Only kidding,
folks. Whatever Paul George was on.
Oh, my God. That was Mumuzi. That was not B. Sir. That was Mumuzi. That was Daryl Morey. Not me. Not me. Okay.
Well, maybe I'll fit into Daryl Morey's spreadsheets after that. Who knows? But yeah, Coach, as you said, it's exciting times in the NBA. The All-Star weekend is just ahead of us, right? New format for All-Star weekend. Interestingly, they don't have the skills challenge. Well, they might have the skills challenge. I've not seen them announce it. They've announced the dunk contest.
Yeah.
How about it? The lowest ever average points by dunk contest participants, 4.53 points per game across the four contestants.
It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful.
So no superstars, no starting players, no role players, just guys in a dunk contest. So hopefully they go out and make a name for themselves. The three-point contest has Damian Lillard in the lineup. Damian Lillard, who is not playing this season with an Achilles injury, is taking part in the All-Star three-point contest. How about that, Coach?
Interesting. You know, you think the Bucks are paying him $100 million and Portland's paying him $15 million and the guy's not playing for either team.
But
he's shooting threes and going to make a lot of money. Not bad.
Yeah. And then they do have the Shooting Star Challenge. They brought that back. That's pretty cool. They've got four teams with two current players and a former player. So you have the Knicks team, which is Brunson, Kat, and Allen Houston. You've got Team Harper, which is Ron Harper, Dylan Harper, and Ron Harper Jr. You've got the Duke team. I think it's called Team Cameron. Corey Maggette, joined by Conker Nipple, and who is the other guy on that team? Jalen Johnson, I believe.
Should be JJ Redick.
I'm surprised he's not in the three-point contest. They're wheeling out Dame Lillard, so a coach's three-point contest would be pretty good. And then the other team is Team All-Star, Rip Hamilton, Scottie Barnes, and someone else who I've forgotten the name of. But the main event for this weekend will be on Sunday night, where we have the World versus USA game. They've drafted the teams. They've taken my suggestion on board of having the older players on one team and the younger players on one team and then the world team. But we're in the spirit of All-Star Weekend, Coach, and this show is brought to you by NBA 2K26. So I thought, if we were going to have the ultimate all-time All-Star draft, how would that look? So, Coach, we're going to draft 1 through 5 our all-time All-Star starting lineups. I'm giving you the number one pick. Who are you taking?
Yeah, as someone that's been in the league for 48 years, I have a distinct advantage over my younger friend who is basically 25 years old. as we're getting the first pick, I'm picking the greatest player of all time, Michael Jordan.
I am not surprised by that.
The unstoppable Michael Jordan.
That is true. But with my first pick, I'm taking the greatest shooter of all time, Mr. Stephen Curry. Because if the All-Star game is anything to go by in the last few years, they're just pulling up a halfway and shooting.
And that he is the greatest shooter of all time.
Absolutely. Your second pick, Coach.
I'm going with, you know, someone who I got to see him in his absolute prime. Revolutionized the game, I think, with two things. We eliminated dunking in college when he was playing. And also he had the greatest weapon ever for a big man to skyhook, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
So you got the greatest player, I got the greatest shooter, you got the greatest shot. I'm going with my second pick for the most dominant player to ever do it, in my opinion, with all due respect to Wilt Chamberlain, but Shaquille O'Neal, the most dominant of the modern era.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal is a great friend of mine, a neighbor of mine when we lived in Orlando together. He's one of the most dynamic humans ever to play sports in the world. He's a worldwide global figure now. And he was, my God, the most dominant physical guy I ever saw. I was coaching the New Jersey Nets when he tore down the whole basket stanchion with a dunk live. Yeah, I love him. Great pick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, your third pick, Coach, who you going with?
I'm going with Mr. Smooth, you know, never breaks a sweat, just Mr. Fundamental, I think his nickname was, and the great Tim Duncan from the five-time champion San Antonio Spurs.
The most consistent. I think with my next pick, I'm going to go with the king of longevity, Mr. LeBron James.
Yeah. All you can say is someone that's done it so long. He's the Tony Bennett of the NBA. I mean, he just keeps going and going, and he performs every night to a world-class level. So great, great pick. And LeBron, you know, is top three players of all time.
Who's next on your roster? Pick number four.
I'm going with someone who we always forget on the Mount Rushmore of players, but having coached against him, the greatest game of my nearly 3,000 NBA games I coached, the greatest game I ever participated in was Boston Celtics Atlanta Hawks Dominique Wilkins versus Larry Bird. And I'm going with the great Larry Bird.
Nah, legendary. Legendary. And speaking of legendary, my next pick, I got to take the Mamba. Kobe Bryant, rest in peace.
Yeah, what a special guy. I mean, such an iconic figure to this game and one of the most brilliant guys ever, you know, to play in this league. Just so talented in everything he touched. Great pick, Mo.
I think the most dedicated out of anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah, I actually had a conversation with one of his great trainers, the great Tim Grover, who was also Michael Jordan's trainer, the other night at the Magic Bucks game, and that just made me think of Kobe and Michael when I talked to Tim. Yeah,
You got one last pick though, Coach. Who's taking that fifth spot? I'm noticing you ain't really got a point guard on your squad right now.
Well, you know, they say you go to the. Mo, I'm not good on these expressions. I don't know if you have any good ones in the UK, but you kind of go to the dance with the girl that brought you and the guy that brought you. I'm going with the greatest point guard of all time, Isaiah Thomas. Brendan guest of the program. But this guy gave me two world championship rings and the most incredible competitor I've ever coached or seen. And the battles we had with Michael and the Bulls are legendary. So I'm thrilled to have Isaiah as my point guard.
It's only right. For my final pick, I'm picking one of my favorite players to ever play the game. I don't think I've ever seen anyone play with this much passion and love for the game than the big ticket, Mr. Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
That rounds out my team.
I mean, that's an amazing guy. I mean, you wish you saw these guys and this game was for real. Because, my goodness, every guy is incredible. And you know what? And this is what happens. We pick 10 when people have to pick the one best player or the four best of all time. Or this is 10
and
best.
There's still like 10 more that we haven't even mentioned. Akeem Olajuwon, Magic Johnson. Like, there's so many guys mentioned.
So, you know, I mean, so Julius Erving.
Yep, Dr. J.
You know, I mean, it's endless. Forget Jerry West, the logo, Elgin Baylor, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell. I'll give you one, Mo. It's not in our game, because this is what could be. This is a great game, and I highly applaud our friends. But who would you have as your coach of the team?
Ooh, and I can't choose Mr. Brendan Sir.
No. It's a head coach, former head coach. You get to pick a head coach.
If I had to pick a head coach to coach my team, that's tough. I got to go with Red Auerbach, though.
You know what? That's a beautiful one. I'm going to go with Chuck Daly just so I can sit on the bench this game.
I hear
okay?
it. Yeah. I hear it.
So they, as you know, many years ago when we picked the top 50 NBA players of all time, then we went to the top 75 of all time, and they picked the top 15 coaches.
Yes.
You know, and so... My son, who's now an adult, said, "Dad, did you coach against every one of these guys?" I said, Red Auerbach? And I go, I didn't coach against Red Auerbach. How the F old do you think I am, son? He's crying. So, no. But I coached against every other one, though.
Yeah, that's crazy. 14 out of 15. 14 out of 15. That's insane. That's better, real crazy.
And beat all 14.
Hey, and you coached some of them, because I'm pretty sure Doc Rivers was on the list, right?
Doc Rivers was one, and I coached him, and I told him, Doc, 26 years, nominated for the Basketball Hall of Fame this year, yep. and fourth of most wins of all time, in the playoffs, and then he just got his 1,000th career win. And when I talked to him years ago, 26 plus years ago, and I said, I really think you need to get into coaching, he told me to go F myself, which we're in the UK, we have a lot of young fans listen, so I'm not going to tell you, figure it out. But that's what he told me. And today, in his accepting the nomination, he said for the Hall of Fame, he said, you know, I coach people because of relationships you get with players. And that's the truth.
Yeah, and you had a big part to play in that, Coach. Well, we're going to put this into NBA 2K and simulate it whilst we do the rest of the show. So come back at the end, and well, don't come back at the end. Stay till the end.
Stay till the end.
And you'll find out. You'll find out, because we've got a lot to talk about in the NBA right now. Tensions are high, Coach. I know you were at home with the biggest smile on your face, because the Bad Boys are back. The Detroit Pistons and the Charlotte Hornets got into it the other night. Jalen Duren, Diabate were kicking off, Miles Bridges got involved, and out of nowhere, like a WWE wrestler running to the ring, Isaiah Stewart. I love beef stew. What was your thoughts and your take on this?
Seen that a few times.
it took you way back.
We've been in a few of those, boy. And then, you know, you'd beat the ass of the other guy, and then there would be no suspensions. You might get ejected, but that was it. No suspensions, no nothing. They gave out big fines, big money for some guys, you know, but you know what? For those that say, and I'm very proud of my Pistons, because 3 years ago we lost 28 games in a row. We were the laughingstock of the NBA. And so I'm very proud of where they've come back to, and I'm very proud of Trajan Langdon, the GM, and what J.B. Bickerstaff and his group have done, and Cade Cunningham and those guys. This is the way the Pistons play. This is the way you play when you're a blue-collar team. Just like in the UK, you have certain parts of the UK where you got to be tough to live there. You got to be tough, you know. And this is the Pistons. This is what they're about. And as we say, we're not taking no stuff. You push me in the face, I'm not taking it. And so I'm not going to defend it. It is what it is. But I'll tell you what, it's the most publicity the NBA has had all season, and it was great for the league, even though they don't think so. It was great for the league because you know what it showed? One media people are talking about teams tanking for lottery spots, and here we got two teams, one on a 9-game winning streak in Charlotte, and the first-place Detroit Pistons not just competing but fighting, and that is passion.
And how about this, Coach? They could see each other in the first round of the playoffs in a 1-8 matchup.
I heard that today.
Mm.
Are you coming to see that? Yes.
Sign me up. I think we got to get out to Detroit for that one, Coach.
Yeah, I can get us tickets.
Bring your boxing gloves.
Yeah. I'll be in a suite. No more. No.
Listen, I loved it. I know you say you're not going to defend it. I loved every second of it. Because
I loved it.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to go one step further, because everyone complains the NBA is so soft. The NBA has gone soft. Guys don't care anymore. So on, guys don't care about the regular season. And these guys are willing to lose money, right? They have all been suspended. Isaiah Stewart, 7 games. Miles Bridges, 4 games. Musa Diabate, 4 games. Jalen Duren, 2 games. They've all lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the person I respect most is Isaiah Stewart. Do you know why? Because everyone in the NBA knows if you leave your bench during a situation like this, it's an automatic suspension. He saw that his teammate was being held back and Miles Bridges tried to cheap shot him, and he came sprinting out. And on his way back to the locker room, did you hear what he said?
Yes.
He said, you thought I was going to sit on the bench? What the hell you draft me to Detroit for? Come on, man. Having your teammates back. Do you see the clip of Duncan Robinson while all this was going on?
No.
all this is going on, and Duncan Robinson just looks over, rolls his eyes, and walks away. Now, I've not been in the NBA locker room like you, Coach, but...
That was probably smart. Duncan would have got his ass kicked. Okay, oh, so that was
100%. No, but I respect the guys.
I
who I respect most in this world, right? In this world, is not the guys who are the best at fighting. It's the guys who know they're going to get their ass kicked, but they still get in the mix. Do you remember? Like, do you know what I love is when Jeff Van Gundy was holding onto Alonzo Mourning's leg for dear life. If you guys haven't seen that, search on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Jeff knew that he can't fight any of these guys, but he's still in the mix trying to get involved, trying to break it up and beat him. Duncan Robinson just walking away. If you're my teammate and it's all kicking off and I see you walking away and rolling your eyes, brother, you ain't with us. You ain't really with us.
You're right. He did hear about it, I'm sure, in the locker room.
I hope he did. I hope he did because you got to be in, you know, KG, when he was a player, he used to talk about being in a foxhole with your guys.
Yeah,
you want to have a team where you don't mind being in the trenches with your team. You know they're going to have your back. And yeah. I just thought that from Duncan Robinson, man, that was weak as hell.
Yeah, that was good stuff. And I'm telling you, you're right. I can't wait to see. I don't know enough about Premier League football and different things. But to me, you know, the big guy, Beef Stewart, Isaiah Stewart, he's like the guy that always gets red cards.
Yeah.
You know, he's what we call a repeat offender.
Yes.
He's done this a couple of times. So that's why he got a 7-game suspension as opposed to 4. And because he's a repeat offender. But you know what? $785,000.
Yep.
You know what?
Well, almost $1 million. But the I think he ain't even mad.
No.
He'd do it again tomorrow if he had to.
Yeah, I much respect.
Yeah, big respect to those guys.
That's a teammate. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the other end of the spectrum, though, Coach, you know, we're talking about these two teams fighting out and being so passionate on the floor. We have an interesting development in the league. Usually after the All-Star break, teams activate the full force of the tank and rest their guys and so on and so forth. We have some early tanking activity, in particular in Utah, where it is blatant, where the starters will play the first three quarters, and even if they're winning, even if they're up big, they will all sit down for the fourth, and the young guys will come in and play. What are your thoughts on this? Because a lot of people are very outraged about it.
Yeah, I think it's... let's explain first to our audience what tanking is, if they don't know.
Yes, tanking is losing games on purpose.
Intentionally to get a higher position in the NBA draft come June.
Yes.
Okay. So the worse record you have, the more opportunities you have in our bingo, our lottery ping pong balls with the three worst records in the league. The three teams were getting the most opportunities, 14%+ chance to get the first pick, et cetera. So what they're doing is they're playing guys, but now they're not. So they had, it's not a good thing. And the biggest thing why I don't like it is all of a sudden you're going to push a button next year and you're going to say, hey, guys, let's win. And they're going to go, last year we wanted to win and you sat us out in the fourth quarter after we built the lead. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden you want to lead. Then maybe we're not capable enough because we don't know how to finish games.
Yeah, but we talk about culture. We talk about building culture and an identity of a team.
Which is based on integrity. Culture is based on integrity and trust.
Yes, and not to be a complete homer with my Boston Celtics, but look at what the Pacers have done this year, and then look at what the Celtics have done this year. The Pacers said, all right, no Halliburton, we're going to go and try and get the number one pick. Joe Mazzulla said, hell no, we're going to compete, and it's worked out well for them. But the Utah Jazz, Coach, do you have any ideas on how to solve this problem? Because some of the tanking across the league is just egregious.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't given it enough thought. And there's probably some guys that might be smarter on this issue than me. There have been all kinds of suggestions over the years about how to handle this. I'm not sure yet.
I've thought about it and I've looked at their solutions. I don't think there is one. Yeah. As long as the lottery system is in place, I don't think there is a solution here.
Yeah, I think that, you know, at one point when I first came into the league, it was just like our NFL and Major League Baseball, the teams that have the worst records get the first pick.
Yeah.
You know, so that I'm not saying they're tanking in the NFL, but there's no incentive. If you want the number one player in college football, you lose a game or two at the end of the season so that you possibly can get that player. But the problem is when you play 82 games, they're starting it, some teams, with 40 games to go.
Yeah, in February right now, and they're starting it. It's ridiculous. I don't think there is a solution here that doesn't have flaws around it, right? Because I think the problem is the draft system more so than the teams, right? Because as long as the draft is in place how it is, they're going to try and be bad. Because if you're not going to win, you may as well be bad, right? You don't want to be stuck in that middle ground. Some people have suggested the idea of scrapping the draft and allowing incoming rookies to be free agents.
Yeah.
But that would also involve having a hard salary cap, and then you can pay players, there's no max salary, right? So if you have Luka Doncic on your team, you might have to pay him $60 million, which means you wouldn't have the money to offer a rookie. The problem with that, and that solution I've seen a lot around, the problem with that is if you're a sneaker brand and you're signing the best player in college basketball, and you say, okay, cool, the Lakers can only give you $5 million, we'll give you $100 if you go to LA. That's the problem with that, is there's too much external money to make that a viable solution.
Yeah, the other thing is you can't make any rules in the NBA without the agreement of the collective bargaining agreement, the Players Association. Mm-hmm. So the Players Association will not do anything that will hurt their players.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't think there is a solution. I honestly don't.
Yeah, they got a problem, and Adam Silver will address it this weekend at the All-Star game because he's got a global audience, and when he does his press conference there on the state of the game, he's going to be asked that, and he's going to have to address it, and it's going to be quite interesting to see where he comes up with, but it's a big issue. If you noticed, I don't know if you did, yesterday before tonight is what I call the Super Bowl of the lottery. It's your Sacramento Kings against our Utah Jazz that we just talked about.
Well, we just had the Super Bowl when they played the Pelicans the other day.
No, this is they're on a week long Super Bowl. Every night they're in it, and so they legitimately have injured players that are just having surgery. Like they just had Zach LaVine just had surgery the other day. And so they have players, poor DeAndre Hunter
gets traded, I guess, injured in his second game for his new team.
You know, so all kinds of stuff is happening. They are not tanking, but they, you know, the league, Lauri Markkanen yesterday was put on an injured report as being out for today.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for the reason? Rest.
And Keyonte George is also out of this game.
And so the NBA called, and Lauri Markkanen is playing tonight.
Yep.
They said no rest because you guys have messed around. So I think what they'll do is they have the right to fine teams.
Yeah.
So I think you might see some of that.
Yeah, I mean, it is really hurting the product. Even not the bad teams. Like, I watched the Lakers-Spurs game. I was telling you this, Coach. I went to watch the Lakers-Spurs game, and then I saw the starting lineups, right? I turn on the game. It's 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I turn on the game. No Luka, no LeBron, no Austin Reeves. I turned off the game.
And that's a home game for them.
Yeah. And so I saw a fan on Instagram who spent 12 grand on flights to LA, 20 grand on his seats, for his once in a lifetime chance to watch his favorite team play. And he just watched Wembanyama in 20 minutes eviscerate them from the earth, which is cool. You got to see Wembanyama ball out, but you would have much rather seen, you know, the guys for the Lakers who he supported.
100%.
And I just think that a lot of these teams, it's all well and good, you know, doing stuff tactically with resting guys here and there and whatever. But you got to think about this. These are the fans who pay your checks. Like, who else is spending $20,000 on tickets? These are the fans who are paying your checks. And then I think the product needs to come first. I think the media community, I don't know if you've seen this, but the media community of journalists have been in uproar because they said the NBA is flying out 200 influencers to turn All-Star Weekend into a content factory.
Wow.
I know they've got 200 content creators coming out there. I'm still waiting for my invitation. It must have got lost in the mail or something because I will not be there. I would like to know how many of those 200 content creators know anything about basketball, let alone more than me, just a reasonable knowledge. But cool, I get it. You want to put the NBA in front of their audiences, so you'll probably hit billions of people. The problem is that I think people don't factor in is, all right, it's all well and good having an influencer, Mr. Beast or whoever it is, Kai Cenat with millions of followers. Their audience will watch that video where they're the NBA, and then they'll keep scrolling. It's not going to transform them into NBA fans, because right. fans who aren't basketball fans already need to learn about the game in order to understand the game, in order to enjoy it properly. So I don't know. That's just my two cents on it.
That's a great point. And I think you have marketing people in the NBA that are trying to figure out, you know, they're trying to assess their value to the company and saying, hey, this is a great idea. You know, we'll see. But I don't think, you know, our problem isn't fans. It's a problem with consistently having a sustained great product.
Yeah.
You always got to keep your eye on the product. And the way the game is played right now, it's not a great product.
This is the point I was making, right? You're flying in all these content creators. Cool. They're going to tell their fans to tune into the NBA. The fans are going to tune into the NBA. Say they tuned into Lakers Spurs last night. Are they going to watch that game?
Hell no.
When they're looking at the Lakers starting lineup and saying, who the hell are these guys? Where's LeBron? Where's Luka? Sure. I don't think they will.
No way.
I think they'll be very confused that they tune into a Jazz game. The Jazz are winning. All of a sudden, their players go to the bench. Are they going to keep watching after that game? I don't think so.
And why don't they come back in? They don't understand. Like in football, soccer football, we know that when you come out of the game, you can't go back in. Okay, mm-hmm. they understand that. They know the game. Mm-hmm. But this is not the case in ours. You can substitute all the time.
Yeah. I saw a very worrying headline today. Gen Zers are half as likely as millennials to watch live sports regularly and twice as likely to never watch. This trend appears to only be accelerating. Only 15% of Gen Alpha, the incoming cohort of teens, enjoys watching sports.
Yeah, I can see that because they have, this device here has just allowed them to do so much more. And they have their attention span of these Gen Zers is very short.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when we teach coaching to coaches, we tell them it's just like a teacher in school. The attention span of the students in your class is 5 to 17 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
NBA game is 2.5 hours.
Yep, it's not even like a FIBA game, which is done in like an hour and a half.
It's beautiful, 60-minute game. Even with the stoppage and all that, you know, a nice little thing.
Yeah, and this is what I think as well, talking about FIBA with the NBA Europe League. Did you see the news today that Donnie Nelson and Luka Doncic want to be the owners of the team they put in Rome? How about that?
I thought that was quite interesting. I don't know where Donnie's getting his money because with the price tag they're talking about, but Luka Doncic will attract investors.
Yep, and it's interesting because now if current players can invest.
Yeah.
Is Giannis going to get him to put a team in Greece?
I don't know.
Is LeBron going to pivot and buy a European franchise because maybe the Adelsons sell the Dallas Mavericks back to Mark Cuban and they buy the team in Las Vegas? We haven't even talked about that, coach. The league is talking about expanding Seattle and Las Vegas in 2027. What are your thoughts on that?
I thought it was going to happen. I think it's good. I think we have a lot of great players around the world that we need more spots for them. Our international players make up, you know, anywhere from 20 to 25% of our league, and there's more good ones out there. Mm-hmm. And so I have no problem about that. That has nothing to do with the Euro League or anything like that. But the dream is to play at the highest level of football, meaning the Euro League, the Premier League, if you're a soccer player, or I think so. This is something that I think is really good. I also think that the price will be the most staggering price of all time for these two expansion teams. So I think we're going to see something that will be incredible.
Do you think that expansion right now is necessary in the NBA when a third of the league is tanking? Like, we're going to take the Pelicans roster, the Kings roster, the Jazz roster, the Wizards roster, and make it even thinner.
There's a lot of good players out there still that aren't playing. You know, but the way the expansion draft works, Mo, is you can protect the 8 players under contract. Mm-hmm. Free agents cannot be protected.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be players, and those teams will have money. You get to pick one player from a team. Each team gets to pick one player from a team. But and so I think, you know, they'll have a team, but you have to accept that contract. So, yep. You know, they play.
If you guys, by the way, listening, sorry to interrupt, Coach. If you guys listening haven't heard our episode with Rick Mahorn, you should go check that out because he talks about when he was picked in the expansion draft way back in the day.
Yeah, and so it's a really fascinating thing. And I personally think I'm one of those people, Mo, that thinks the more jobs we have in this business, the better.
And I agree.
So, and you know what? It might hurt us a little bit for a couple of years, but man alive, it will grow up.
Well, which team will join the Eastern Conference? Because the Seattle Supersonics and Vegas teams will both be in the Western Conference, so someone has to come east. Is it going to be the Timberwolves, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans? Who do you think it will be?
You got the three teams correct. And you got the three teams, it'll be two of those three. And if you had the three teams you identified, which ones?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be two of those three. And my pick would be, it's interesting. I think they'll let them get involved. But if I'm New Orleans and if I'm Minnesota, I'm coming east.
It would just be one of them.
No, two. Both teams have 15. Both teams, I believe, have 15.
So it's 15 and 15. And then you add two to the West, that's 17 and 15. So only one needs to go over to make it 16 and 16.
Don't ask me these tough things.
So it's just one. I think the Timberwolves are hoping it'll be them because it bolsters their chances to make it to the finals.
No, they will be the team that gets to go over because they were the ones, you know, that has longer stead in that they've been there since 1989. So they're the oldest franchise of those three. The other one that's third, no matter what, is Memphis because they came from Vancouver.
Mm.
So they will be the last. Can't believe I got this math wrong.
It's all good, Coach. I know it's late over there. Don't worry about it.
I used to be able to add and subtract, but I don't know.
Too much time on your phone. You're turning into a Gen Z. In other news around the NBA, the Spurs have released Jeremy Sohan, another friend of the show. He is now able to go and talk to other teams about signing with them, which is kind of unprecedented, really, for players on the rookie scale contract. But they couldn't find a partner for him at the trade deadline, and they're going to let him walk and see where he ends up. What do you think about that?
It's a really bad sign for a young player. Really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that he mentally wasn't equipped to come into this league because he came after, I believe, might have even come after his freshman year at Baylor. Might have. You know, you're on a team that could win the NBA championship this year and you want out of it. That tells me too much about where you're focused on. I want to be on a championship team as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And so you now are going to go down to a minimum salary someplace, and then you're going to get stuck down there. And the two teams interested in him, they're going to use him as a placeholder in, you know, possibly Phoenix and possibly New York Knicks. You know, and it'll be for the rest of the season. Then you're a free agent. You know, I just think it's a very bad career move for him. And then he'll have to give back some money to get waived. You know, so
He's been taken out of the rotation entirely because of the emergence of Carter Bryant.
Well, he deserves to be out of the rotation. So you don't then give up. You fight your way back.
Mm.
And so it's a very bad sign for a young player that, you know, and people do their due diligence. They will do an incredible background check on him to see what the heck's going on. So I wish he had a little better guidance on that one.
Yeah. I hope, obviously, as he's from the UK, I hope he finds a home somewhere. I think Phoenix would really suit him. You know, the new culture they've got over there.
Yeah, but it'll be very temporary, I think, because if you don't work, you know, the thing in reality is, I would personally sign him to a 10-day contract. I wouldn't sign him for the rest of the year.
see what he's got before you give him see what he's got. The year.
Yeah, because you might inherit something now. You say, "Oh my God!" See, I have a saying, Mo, that you never know a player in the NBA till you coach him,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you get this guy and you say, "Now I know why San Antonio let him go." Because they drafted him in the lottery.
Yep.
You don't let go of assets like that unless yep. there's a reason. That's why I say that. No offense to him, you know, but this is business now. This is not feelings and all that crap. But yep. on top of it, you know, he's got a $7 million contract, I think, this year, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, there's only 25 or so games to go in the season, and they'll make him, you know, give up what a minimum contract for the rest of the year would be at the least just to get his free agency out of there. So, you know, so he's looking at least giving up $1 million, I think.
Wow. I could not even fathom giving up $1 million.
I mean, it's not like they're just going to write you a check and say goodbye. No.
But you know what, for San Antonio, though, Carter Bryant, who's taken his minutes in a rotation, he's in the dunk contest. He's insanely impressive. His athleticism is off the charts. His motor is fantastic. I watched him the other day. I was calling the Spurs game on Prime against the Dallas Mavericks. I think he had like 3 or 4 blocks in the first half alone, and he was blocking jump shots. He is an absolute beast on the defensive end.
Great, great athlete. Great, great athlete. Hell of a pick. I think he was 14th.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
And he knocked down a couple threes as well, which isn't his usual repertoire.
Good young prospect, and that's why they can afford to do this.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to win a championship, you don't want any distractions around.
Yeah. Yeah. And my man's
coming like he's trying to imitate Rodman with a different color hairdo every day.
Well, he's trying to bring the defensive prowess to the games, but I think his offensive game needs to develop a little bit further if he wants to stick around in this league. So,
yep.
you know, hopefully he finds a home. We'll see what happens with Jeremy. There's a lot of players on the buyout market. Is there anyone that you think contending teams would all be after? Because over the years, we've seen some impactful buyout candidates. I remember the Spurs got Boris Diaw on a buyout. The Clippers got Russell Westbrook on a buyout. Derek Rose went to the Timberwolves on a buyout. So there's been a few impactful guys who have come in and made their mark. Is there anyone you can think of right now that a contending team would do well with?
Well, I'm anxious. The biggest thing right now is, I'm telling you, it's the tax and who's got space for guys.
Because
just because you waive a guy, you're still paying tax on his contract. So it's got to be teams that have the ability to bring in that player that is getting bought out only is going to get a minimum contract.
Cam Thomas got signed by the Bucks. We talked about Cam Thomas getting waived by the Brooklyn Nets recently. He got bought in by the Bucks.
That's another really bad one, boy. I mean,
this lineup of like Cam Thomas, Kevin Porter Jr., Kyle Kuzma, Bobby Portis, and I'm Jericho Sims, and I'm like, that as a 5-man lineup in the NBA, I don't want to watch a single minute of that.
You know, when you get waived by a team that's in basically last place and you're making no money, you're making like $5 million or whatever he's making, and you're getting waived. And basically they took you out of a game because the way you played about a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, that's a terrible sign for a young kid, 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now he's going back to zero, I call it. So he's going to go back. He'll be signed for the rest of the season with Milwaukee. And then he's got to fight uphill again.
Mm-hmm.
And now guess who becomes the flavor of the month? All these young college kids in this incredible draft.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Thomas then goes to the bottom of the list.
Yep. That's right, man. That's some real
players. That's real life stuff. So, yeah, he's a talented kid. He's an LSU kid, and seen him when he was a freshman here. And he can throw that ball in the basket, but there's other parts of the game.
Well, Coach, at the start of the show, we drafted our all-time starting fives for an all-time All-Star game. Would you like to know the results?
Well, I know I won, but I mean, if you want to let our great fans, listeners, and watchers know how good I am at picking a team.
We ran a game first of 50 points by ones and twos on the NBA Blacktop because this year's All-Star game is not a real format, so we didn't do a real format either. We took it to the streets. Okay.
With my old team, you made them play outside on the streets.
Oh, I did. And, Coach, your old team shot 0% from behind the arc and lost 50-32.
See,
the lack of spacing, I was keeping an eye on it. The lack of spacing was astounding. Really? Steph Curry scored 18 points and 10 assists to lead my squad to victory. Shaquille O'Neal got 15 boards and Kevin Garnett got 18 boards. My team crushed it on the glass. You obviously had Michael Jordan putting up 22, but outside of Mike, I don't know if he wasn't passing the ball to anyone because he took 45 shots and went 22 or 45 from the field. And it was a bad day for the old heads on your squad, coach.
I need to number the NBA 2K26 people. I need to call them because there's something wrong with this product. I'm telling you.
It is the best in the world.
No, not every time I pick something, I lose. I mean, come on, man. I mean, coach, we did this freaking Emirates Cup tournament. Yep. I had a great squad. I get trounced. I mean, there's something wrong with this, Mo. I think it's a conspiracy against me.
I don't know if it's a conspiracy against you. I think it's because I spend about 5 hours a day playing this game, and I'm actually in the game. So I have a slight advantage when it comes to picking teams on this. But don't worry. When I come out to New Orleans, I'm going to get you a PlayStation, and I'm going to teach you all about 2K. How about that?
No comment.
Shout out to NBA 2K26. We love you. But yeah, All-Star Weekend is here. Coach, what are you most excited for in All-Star Weekend? Which TikToker are you excited to see at All-Star Weekend?
No, I am so disappointed in injuries.
Yes.
Many of my favorite players. I was hoping for, I wanted to see the world team just go up and smack them. Mm-hmm. You know, a real world team. And so many great players are going to be missing.
Shea, Giannis. Is Steph going to play? I don't think Steph's going to play.
Steph's out. Maybe Luka might be out.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, so this is really disappointing. This is going
to be all mid-weekend.
This is really, really disappointing for me.
I ain't going to lie to you, bro. If you look at the All-Star game from years ago and you look at the All-Star game now, and I'm watching, and no disrespect to these guys, I'm watching Chet Holmgren and Brandon Ingram on the All-Star game. Come on, man, give me a break.
Hey, man.
I grew up watching Kobe and Mike and KG and T-Mac and all these crazy players, and now this is what we got. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still excited for it, but come on, man.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I coached two All-Star games, one where Michael Jordan was the MVP in Chicago Stadium, 42 points. Imagine that in an All-Star game. Mm. And
he tried to win the All-Star game.
Oh, we won because you know why? Because if we won, players and coaches got $5,000. Now I think it's $100,000.
Wow.
Born too soon, brother. And then, then we played in Miami. The first year they had the arena down there, and I'm telling you, I often say this, the 1990 Eastern Conference All-Stars, I have the picture up on the wall, was better than the Dream Team. And wow. I think I've told you that. I mean, literally 20 points better.
That's crazy.
I mean, think about this. Imagine having Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan, Joe Dumars, Isaiah Thomas, Dennis Rodman, Reggie Miller. It was outrageous.
Scottie Pippen.
It was absolutely incredible. And frankly, Chuck and I were absolutely great coaches in that game. But yeah, I mean, it was incredible. And
130-113. Nice win for your boys in the East.
I mean, you know, you look at the team, and I remember this is how serious the game was. We literally there, you used to get like a half hour practice. We put in offense. We put in offenses. And the offenses we put in were three of the best plays we ran with the Pistons. So all the players knew them because they played against. And we put in three plays, a middle pick and roll, a side pick and roll, and then there's something for the guards to come off and shoot or post up Ewing or the other guy, McHale, inside. And Larry Bird, in a pregame talk, Chuck says to him, do you have anything to add? Anyone have anything to add? And Larry Bird, who never talks, says, coach, he says, listen, guys, don't go looking for shots, but if one comes to you, take it. It might be the best coaching advice I've ever heard in basketball. Don't go, in other words, don't be going one-on-one trying to just jack one up. But if a shot, you're open and a shot comes to you, take it. I'm telling you, that's 130 points. I mean, it's crazy, but that was a legendary group of guys, and it was all coaching, frankly.
We're probably going to see 230 points and no coaching and no plays and just
we're gonna
I'm hoping this year is more competitive. I'd love to be proven wrong.
The concept was decent concept,
but it's just sad that they have to come up with a concept.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the sad part for me.
It used to be an incredible honor to be one of the 12 in each conference to get selected. Now I've said, because I saw in the NHL the hockey last year with the four nations thing, we had four nations competing in a little mini tournament over a couple of days. When they put the U.S. versus Canada for the final game, it's the best hockey game ever played in this world, as far as tough Canada won. I just think I would love to see 10 or 12 world players. And I don't care if you put 8 or 10 guys from U.S. on each team and play the same thing. But I would really like... I would love to have a real game of world versus U.S.
Yeah, I'm not trying to see a round-robin tournament.
I don't want that. I want to see a real game. And if you even want to make the game like FIBA, 40 minutes, cool.
Yep.
But when you have 12 players, you need the extra time to get everyone in. Yeah. So,
well, we'll see. I'm looking forward to
that. I hope we're wrong.
I hope we're wrong too. But we'll be back after the All-Star game. And... we'll let you know how it went. Hopefully you watch it. If you don't worry, we'll watch it on your behalf. And we'll catch you up on the podcast. So until next time, subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And until then, get buckets.